Hello and welcome to this service coming to you from St. Martin's Church, North Nibley, a service of the Word on this Sunday, which is Ascension Sunday. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace and mercy and peace be with each one of you and also with you. We worship with Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for all of us. May it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we come before God in worship. Lord, speak to us that we may hear your word. Move among us that we may behold your glory and receive our prayers that we may learn to trust you. Amen. The Collect for Ascension Day. Risen Christ, you've raised our human nature to the throne of heaven. Help us to seek and serve you that we may join you at the Father's side where you reign with the Spirit in glory. Now and forever. Amen. Our readings for today, the first one comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intensely up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Here endeth the reading. Alleluia, alleluia, go and make disciples of all nations, says the Lord. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Alleluia. The Gospel comes from John 17, 1 to 11. After Jesus had said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him, that you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the Gospel, you will have noticed that it begins with, after Jesus said this. So just in case you were wondering what he had just said, it was to paraphrase that their grief, the disciples' grief, will turn to joy. So there you are. First off, as we listen to the first chapter of Acts, Jesus is where he been for about the last 6 weeks. He's mostly here on earth walking around with eating dinner with and conversing with his disciples. And what's more, he's doing all of that in his new resurrection body. So Jesus is still down here with us on earth. And the disciples' minds are still focused on this earth as well. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They ask. 40 days post-Easter and they're still focused on the same old political earthly kingdom that kept them from really understanding Jesus' mission for the last 3 years. And Jesus deflects that, of course, but still tells them that something of the main action of what is to come will indeed be right here on this earth. Power is coming, but it will come to the disciples down here, and it will empower witness and work down here too. Which is why Jesus goes on to name some geographical place names as a target of work. But no sooner does Jesus say this than he is taken up into the skies and right out of the sight of the disciples. The text does not record this for us, but you have to assume that despite how often Jesus has mentioned going to be with his Father again and leaving the world and all that, there is no way that the disciples were ready for this disappearing act. We are told they are kept intently looking up to where Jesus had gone, but I assume they did this with mouths hanging open. Yes, Jesus had been known to come and go, to pop into and out of rooms, rather suddenly and mysteriously, ever since he came back from the dead. But this time it looked different. This time it looked, well, pretty final. However, as an instant sign that Jesus has gone up was not an indication of that the work was leaving with him. The next thing you know, there are angels standing with them. And please notice angels standing with them down here on earth. Mostly, if you want to see an angel, you'd think you'd have to look up, not down, not beside you, not to your back. But not this time. There's a further sign that the work of witness to Jesus was going to be a decidedly earthly affair, the angels are down here too. They tell the disciples that Jesus will indeed come back one day via this route in reverse, but it won't be on account of the disciples staring uselessly into the clouds. So, having had their orientation returned to terra firma, the disciples hoof it back to Jerusalem, where they do eminently practical and down-to-earth things of replacing Judas with Matthias. But before that, they do something else. They pray a lot. The Gospel reading from John, as you will notice, begins with, after Jesus said this. And having said that, Jesus prays for them. In the previous reading from Acts, we heard a similar story. Having seen our beloved leader arrested, crucified, and risen, he then promptly leaves them in deep grief when he ascends. But as we said just now, their action is to follow Christ's example. So the disciples, along with Jesus' mother, brothers, and other women, gather in the upper room and prayed. The topic for today then is prayer. The bishop's number one priority for our diocese is to be deeply rooted in prayer and in the study of scriptures. The diocese hopes that you will grow in your spirituality and prayer life to ways in which we may begin to deepen the sense of God in our lives and our experience of prayer. Age-old advice underlines the importance of praying as we can, not as we can't. One of the ways in which we may do this is to develop the awareness of our prayers being tied up with our daily life. Life is to be a prayer for work, and a working prayer, says Elias Chakor, who was a former Palestinian, Arabian, and Archbishop of Nazareth in Galilee in the Greek Catholic Church. Life is to be a prayer for work and a working prayer. But prayer also includes the deliberate turning aside corporatively and personally to give time to God. We practice giving attention to God so that our life can be kept God-centered. Christianity has been described as a way of life and a way of prayer, and sometimes we think that prayer, other than on Sundays, is an optional add-on, something to aspire to if you want a particularly holy person. No, that isn't it. Prayer is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus. And it's hard if you're working flat out in the secular world all day. It's difficult to climb into bed knackered and feel invigorated to pray. So why bother? In reply to that question, former Archbishop Rowan Williams once replied, "As a Christian, my understanding is that what I'm doing is allowing the life of Jesus to come alive in me with the Holy Spirit. So when I pray, I'm trying to make room for that." It's worth thinking about that again. When we pray, what's going on is that we are trying to make room for something special to happen, to allow the life of Jesus to come alive in us by the Holy Spirit. And that tells us something else about prayer, something which all of the great teachers about prayer would have us learn. Prayer at its heart has more to do with God's working in us than with what we are doing. There are many ways in which each of us as individuals might develop and deepen a regular practice of prayer. Prayer can be both private and with others. Like doing Keep Fit, it's often easier to do it with others and you're committed to actually being there and getting involved. I gave up teaching and spent my last 10 years very happily working at Obsouth Bakery. Other cheaper bakeries are available, but I bet they don't have regular prayer meetings out at work like Obsouth do. It helps that the firm is run by a family of raving Christians, but it was great. Once a week we'd meet in what was known as the upper room above the shop and pray very informally about everyone and everything. And I always came out of that meeting feeling better. The great thing is that when you're talking to God, which is one half of praying, the other being listening to God, you don't have to do any great preparation. I used to drive my delivery van around Bath, make a mental note of all those people I'd spoken to and all those people and things that were causing concern to me. And then we'd meet up with the others and we'd bring it before God. So if you can find some support and strengthen your experience of prayer and worship with others, that would be really good. As for private prayer, making time to sit quietly can be challenging. But once again, no great preparation is necessary. Just talk to God in a normal way. He doesn't need to hear eloquent language. He's happy with whatever suits you. So just get on and pray. Always. Amen. Let us declare our faith in God by saying the words of the Creed. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family and every family in heaven and on our earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we come to the time where we make ourselves right with God by bringing to him our open hearts, asking for his forgiveness for the things that we've done that we shouldn't really have done, and for the things that we didn't do that we should have done. Lord God, we sinned against you. We've done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we pray for other people in the world. Heavenly Father, help us to pray regularly and make prayer central to everything that we do, in the sure knowledge that you hear us and answer our prayers. Help us also to deepen our relationship with you through regular prayer and regular scripture reading. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we pray for our church. Bless Bishops Rachel and Robert as they lead your church into the future. We also pray for all the clergy in the diocese and those parish administrators who struggle weekly to fill the service slots in their parishes. May they be vigilant to your will and filled with your wisdom and compassionate love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, help us to live in harmony, setting aside our differences to focus on what truly matters, loving you and loving one another. Give us hearts that are patient and humble, seeking to build bridges rather than walls. May peace come to our homes, our village, our towns and country, and our world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those countries currently involved in war and political strife. We pray for those families who've lost loved ones, lost houses, lost their income, lost absolutely everything through war. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we lift before you all those we know who are sick or in any particular need. Hold them safely in your loving arms and bring ultimate healing to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we give thanks for all those we know who have died recently. Bring comfort and hope to those who mourn them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Open our hearts and minds to your Spirit to guide us to work together and reflect your perfect unity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Amen. So, going out to serve the Lord, faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love new every morning. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Two notices. Next week I'll be doing a recorded service, but I won't be at church because I'm hoping to, I say hoping to, it depends on whether my body stands up. I'm leaving North Nibley on my bicycle, and I'm cycling to France and then doing a 120 mile or so loop over a couple of days in France, and then cycling back to North Nibley just for the challenge. So maybe, you know, have a think about me during the week. And then on top of that, on the 21st, and more importantly, of course, on the 21st of June, there is a service of songs of praise at St. Martin's. And we're going to dedicate the new organ, and we're having a cream tea. So it'd be lovely. That's at 3 o'clock on the 21st of June. That'd be lovely to see you all there. So there we are. So have a good week, and you will hear my voice next week. But I won't be here. I'll be in France. Hopefully. So, the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you and those that you love this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.